Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Lawmakers gather in Pierre today for the official beginning of the state legislative session. Governor Kristi Noem gives her State of the State speech at 1 p.m. Central, 12 Mountain. You can hear that at SD.net, here on SDPB Radio, and watch at SDPB TV. Well, before that speech, we have gathered together a few of the SDPB journalists who will help you make sense of the session today and in the weeks ahead. Lee Strubinger is SDPB's politics and public policy reporter. He's joining us today from Pierre. Lee, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Lori. Good to be here.
Seth Tupper is SDPB's business and economic development reporter. He is joining us from the Rapid City studio. Seth, I forgot what it was called. It's been a while. Sorry.
Whatever it is.
Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio in SDPB's Rapid City Studio. Thank you very much. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you.
And Jackie Hendry is the new host of South Dakota Focus on SDPB TV, and she's helping anchor the coverage today. She's joining us from Vermilion. Hey, Jackie, welcome.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
We're going to start with, and congratulations, Jackie.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
We're going to start with Lee. Lee, for people who have been paying more attention to national news than what's happening here at home, let's bring everybody back to the ground and tell us what happens today in Pierre.
Yeah, so as you might recall, we had an election in November, and every single legislative candidate was up for re-election. Some of them got re-elected, some new members got re-elected, and so today is the swearing in of legislators, which starts at noon Central. And then after that, the governor gives her State of the State address at 1 Central. And that's where she'll outline her vision and legislative priorities for the state. You know, it's a speech that will set the tone for the next 10 weeks. And given the Republican supermajority in both chambers, lawmakers will be deferential to her asks. But as you know, there are 105 individuals here who all have their own ideas.
Mm-hmm. What are we anticipating from the governor's State of the State speech? What do we know so far?
Yeah, well, I think we can expect an update on how COVID-19 is going in the state, and about, you know, I think we'll hear about her handling of the virus, and I'm sure she'll also talk about vaccine distribution and stuff like that. We heard in the newscast that South Dakota is top in sort of vaccine distribution in the country. You know, I think we can also expect to hear more about her proposals that she announced during her budget address on spending the one-time money the state received. Specifically the $100 million broadband investment she wants to make. You know, if that goes through, it could be one of the largest projects that the state has ever spent money on. So it'll be interesting to see if lawmakers go along with it. I think we can also expect her to outline some plan she would like to see go through in regards to medical and recreational marijuana regulation. Obviously, recreational marijuana is still up in the air in terms of legality, but lawmakers may still need to work to put something in place in case it's upheld. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we also might hear about her plans for increasing pay for the big three, state employees, teachers, and community support providers, as well as changes to the state employee health plan. I'm interested in seeing how she approaches this speech. She spent the last few months campaigning for President Trump and Georgia Republican U.S. Senate candidate Kelly Loeffler, both of whom lost their elections. You know, it's no secret that Noem has been making moves to be a contender for the 2024 presidential election. She gave a speech to the Republican National Convention during a private luncheon last week. She followed that up with an editorial in The Federalist. And this will be her first public speech since the election. Is this a speech that will, you know, kick off her presidential bid? You know, I'm already seeing that Fox News did a segment with Noem this morning saying that she will be giving her State of the State address today. So that made national news.
The whole nation tunes in to the South Dakota State of the State address,
yeah,
which is a development in and of itself. It, yep. She talked in that Fox News conversation about strong families and how that people would hear a lot about her thoughts about strong families today. And she also said stories have power, and it's time to tell some stories about a family. She had a family with her that we'll hear more from later on at that 1 o'clock Central, noon Mountain Time, I suspect. But Lee, setting that aside, this is a legislative legislation legislative session like no other. What are you seeing in the Capitol as far as what looks different, and then basically what you know about how the conversation will be different?
Yeah, so it is a little bit different in some regards. There's hand sanitizer stations kind of placed throughout outside of rooms as you're supposed to walk in. There are some sneeze guards that are put in place in front of or on the side of legislators' desks. The press box, if you will, is surrounded by a sneeze guard, so that's great. So if you are in a Senate-controlled room, masks are required for everyone except the senators. In the House, masks are encouraged, but they are not mandatory. So if you're going to a House committee room to watch a debate there, you don't necessarily have to wear a mask. If you're going to a Senate committee room, you will have to wear a mask. So that will be what is put in place this year. As for how the conversation is going to change, I think COVID is going to really impact how public input is made. I think they're going to make as many amenities available for the public that wants to provide input, whether it be calling in or digital input or otherwise. You know, and that's really going to impact a lot of really big things that come up this year. You know, like I said, lawmakers have to deal with marijuana this session. And, you know, hanging over all of this is also the Attorney General, who's still under investigation for striking and killing a Highmore resident in the late summer. They have massive amounts of one-time money to spend. You know, I've spoken with lawmakers who say the easiest sessions are when there is no money to spend. And, you know, to top it all off, at the end of the year, lawmakers are going to be prepping to redistrict legislative districts following the 2020 census. You know, that generally happens during the interim, but it's kind of what's hanging over, what will be hanging over everything.
Yeah. And with so much legislative work that needs to be done, and we haven't even started to talk about some of the social issues and some of those bills that individual lawmakers bring. Governor Noem was talking about a bill that she wants to bring regarding abortion coming up. So those are the kind of conversations that can take up a lot of oxygen and a lot of time for lawmakers when there's lots of work to be done. So tell me what you're particularly interested in following in the days ahead, knowing that there's so much to choose from.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, all the things that I just mentioned. But, you know, the last few years, it seems like, you know, any kind of preview segments or stories, you know, they do a good job of setting up what's to come during session. But we really just don't know until bills get filed and lawmakers start considering them. We just don't have a clue yet.
Yeah. Seth Tupper, you've been following the state's economic response to COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic as a business and economic reporter. So as we enter this legislative session, tell me a little bit about some of the topics that you're going to continue to follow as lawmakers gather.
Yeah, the big thing is this leftover money. If listeners may recall, the state received $1.25 billion in COVID aid back in March. And early on, a lot of that money went to schools and local governments. But when we got to the fall, there were still hundreds of millions of dollars left over from that aid. And the original deadline to spend it was the end of the year. So the governor and the legislature got together and decided to issue the rest of that money out as grants for businesses, nonprofits, and healthcare providers. And they tried to rush that money out the door, and they really struggled to do that. Well, then in December, Congress passed another COVID relief bill and extended the deadline to spend the original money another year. So I looked this morning, and it appears that there's still about $400 million left unspent from that original $1.25 billion. And the state is still in the process of analyzing and processing about $200 million worth of grants for businesses and nonprofits and healthcare providers. So the upshot is it doesn't look like all that money is going to get spent on what they wanted to spend it on, and there could be tens of millions of dollars left. And so there could be a big question there about what to do with all that leftover money. And we might hear about that in the State of the State address today. We might hear about it in a joint appropriations committee that's going to happen after the State of the State. But there'll be some decisions there, and it's really a strange position. And when you think about it, we're in the middle of a pandemic and a recession, and we have so much extra money. thanks in large part to the federal aid and also to the relative strength of our state's economy right now compared to other states, that we don't know what to do with all this money we have. It's really a fascinating position to be in.
Yeah, and to expand on that a little bit, because, with the national news and then news of the legislative session, and then, those COVID precautions, I mean, we still have this pandemic that we're living under as we do all this work. And also we have other big news across the state. So yesterday the state announced this upcoming addition of a 700,000 square foot food production facility from a Korean company, I believe it is, in Sioux Falls. What can you tell us about that announcement and how that fits into this whole economic picture?
Yeah, well, it's good news for the economy. It's a company called CJ Foods, based in South Korea. As you said, they have an affiliate in Schwan's, which many people are familiar with. It's based in Minnesota. And so it's going to create 600 jobs at this production plant in Sioux Falls that'll take several years to build. And then the food will get sold through Schwan's and through CJ Foods. But that comes on top of another recent announcement by Amazon that it's going to create 1,000 jobs in a fulfillment center in the same industrial park where CJ Foods is going to build. So that's an incredible 1,600 new jobs that'll be created from just two announcements that have been made in the last several months. And it really does show that when this pandemic is over, when the national recession is over, South Dakota is in really great shape to come out of it really well economically. And part of that is because Governor Noem has really resisted shutting down the state's economy in response to the pandemic. You can make an argument, of course, that there's been an associated cost of lives and public health in exchange for that. But there's no denying that our economy is in better shape than a lot of other states. And so, legislatively, what I think will happen, the effect that could come out of this is that, here we go again. We see seemingly all or most of the jobs headed to Sioux Falls. Every session, it seems like there's an argument from legislators from the rural areas about why is all the economic development going to Sioux Falls, and what can we do to help small towns who will probably be sending a lot of their residents and workers to Sioux Falls to take these jobs. And so I'll be interested to see if there's any creative solutions that come up to that, or if it's just rhetoric again, or what can be done to help the economies of the rest of the state.
Yeah, and then that goes into that tech school conversation and workforce development conversation as well, which is always pushing forward and turning ahead at the same time. What else do you have your eyes on for the legislative session, Seth?
Well, there's a number of things. If you listen to Lee and what we're talking about now, it's just a jam-packed session. Back in November, you might recall voters approved sports betting in Deadwood, but that was just approval of the concept. The legislature this session will have to write the rules on how that's going to work. And there's some questions there about whether it'll be limited just to Deadwood, or you might be able to vote in, to gamble and bet on sports at kiosks around the state or even on your smartphone. Lee mentioned the broadband expenditure the governor wants to make. I'll be watching that. The governor's proposed $5 million for some grants for meat processing facilities, small meat processing facilities, and the list goes on and on. So it's going to be a very, very, very busy session.
Jackie Hendry, joining us from Vermilion, you're taking over the helm of South Dakota Focus, and you're covering with Lee Sterbinger the state of the state today, first week of that new job, and here we are in Pierre. So first tell listeners, fortunately we've all heard your voice before and we know that we're in good hands, but tell listeners where they can find and connect with today's coverage on SDPB.
Well, of course, you can catch us live on SDPB TV for that coverage starting at 1 Central of today's State of the State. You can also go online, sd.net. You'll be able to find a link to the video coverage today. And then, of course, all of our ongoing coverage, sdpb.org/statehouse. Tis the season for that landing page.
So listeners know you as our education and healthcare reporter. So I want, and that the hat doesn't come off so easily. So tell me about some of the topics that you're particularly interested in watching for in the early days of the state legislative session.
Well, how much time do we have? Let's see. somewhat overshadowed by other national news last Wednesday, an interesting announcement in the education field. Up until last Wednesday, South Dakota was the only state in the nation without any kind of need-based scholarship program for college students. That is changing, announced T. Denny Sanford, Premier Bank, other businesses putting together what will ultimately be a $200 million endowment for need-based scholarships in South Dakota. And the governor that day announced that she plans to ask the legislature to support its own $50 million from the state to that end. So that alone is a pretty big announcement. I'm also especially interested in watching the Ocheti-Chacoan community-based school bill come back this year. That was introduced first last year. This would be basically charter schools for indigenous youth in Rapid City and throughout the state, with a focus on Lakota, Dakota, Nakota spiritualities, languages, traditions in that educational setting. That bill last year unanimously passed the Senate but failed on the House side. There are plans to bring that back again this year. And according to an article I read in the Rapid City Journal, South Dakota is one of five states that actually doesn't have any legislative framework for charter schools. So those are two pretty big things that I'm watching in education. And then, of course, as if you've heard Lee and Seth talk about, COVID-related bills and funding, and watching funding for nursing homes. As we know, nursing homes really suffered this last year, and they were already struggling before the pandemic financially. So we're watching what else might come down the line there.
And we're going to have some audio for our In Their Own Words feature in Hour 2 from that Tribal Relations Committee talking about those schools. So you'll be able to hear committee members discuss that coming up in our second hour. Lee, let's wrap this up as we move on throughout the hour. We're going to have Democratic leaders up next. But as you arrive in Pierre and get settled in, Lee, are you hearing any buzz from lawmakers about what they anticipate?
You know, to be honest, I did a bit of a walk around before coming on today, and you know, there were some lawmakers in the building, but it's kind of been pretty empty thus far. I know that there are some legislators who are planning on sort of sticking around, maybe in their apartments or hotel rooms until they have a committee meeting or House floor vote. So it's been fairly empty in the building thus far. But, you know, that being said, everybody's coming here with their own ideas. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be seeing those shortly in the coming days.
And since we've had several lawmakers already test positive for COVID-19, they'll be watching that unfold as well as they try to do this work and do it safely. Lee Strubinger, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Seth Tupper, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jackie Hendry, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Lori. See you around.